time now for Bible Talk. Join Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible to deepen our understanding of God's Word.
Hi, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. My name is John Bradshaw.
And I'm Gary Gibbs.
And we're delighted that you've taken the time to be with us today. Listen carefully over the next few minutes because you'll be blessed as we continue the discussion that we have been having here on Bible Talk about witchcraft and paganism in the church. Gary, the shocking fact is it is there. We mentioned Harry Potter last time and how, now don't get me wrong, not too many pastors are preaching sermons out of Harry Potter books, but a lot of church members are feeding to their children and reading themselves the older ones, the Harry Potter stories, which contain witchcraft. Certainly something that God has told us in no uncertain terms we ought to keep away from.
It's a phenomenal trend that's happening today around the world. And this type of witchcraft is different than the type of witches that I grew up with.
You grew up with some witches, huh?
Yeah, looking at the witches on TV, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, you know, the wart-faced, evil, wicked witch. The witch of today in Hollywood is somebody who's young, a lot of women as well, beautiful, sexy, has a lot of appeal, smart, uses their powers for good.
It's
not the wart-faced woman anymore.
Right, and they win all the time, not like the one who always comes off second best.
That's right. You know, this brand of witchcraft that's depicted in Harry Potter and in Charmed, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, this is called Wicca witchcraft. Now, this was a new phenomenon to me that I wasn't aware of. But Wicca is growing by leaps and bounds, 1,600% between 1990 and 2001. By 2012, it could be the largest religious group in the USA behind Christianity and Judaism. That's a huge growth for it to get to that level.
It's growing in leaps and bounds. Teenagers particularly are diving into this thing. It's become kind of sexy, kind of popular, and in high schools particularly, kids are just being drawn right into this. Well, they read about it, they watch it, they say, this can't be so bad. They're very, very open to it, and they get led down this pathway.
I'd never even heard of Wicca before until I went out to dinner with a friend of mine. I had not seen him in years, and he was a Christian when he and I worked together, but then he left the faith, and he left Christianity, and we went out together to eat, and he invited another friend to come along, one of his friends. And as we were talking, I was asking his friend, what does he do? And he said, I'm a witch.
Oh, really?
I said, you're a witch? And he smiled. He said, yes, I'm a Wicca witch. Do you know anything about Wicca? I said, no, tell me a little bit about it. I want to know who I was eating with. And he explained Wicca to me, that they believe that there are natural powers, supernatural powers in the earth. And they have this earth worship where they worship the earth. And they do good things with their supernatural powers. And that's how I was first introduced to Wicca witchcraft, was by eating with a real live witch.
Good evening. I'm a witch. No warts on the nose and no broomstick, huh?
Nice looking fella. But I couldn't help but think about what the Bible says about witchcraft.
And this is the thing. We wouldn't talk about this like it's a personal matter. You got to dislike or hate or start crusading against people who don't think like you. The end of the day, though, the Christian comes back to what the Bible says. And when it comes to these things, the Bible is explicit for very good reasons that this is the sort of thing the Christian ought to have absolutely nothing to do with, and as such, particularly Christian parents ought to be closing every avenue against this thing that they can to protect not only themselves but their children as well.
And the witches of the Bible include, I believe, Wicca witchcraft, because you look at Jeremiah 8, verse 2. It's referring to the sorcery where they worship the moon and the sun. It says, all the host of heaven whom they've loved and whom they've served, after whom they've sought and walked, and whom they have sought and whom they've worshipped. You know, it's talking about this witchcraft and this worship of the heavenly bodies and the things of the earth. And that definitely would include something like Wicca witchcraft.
Now, as far as witchcraft goes, you've got the Wicca business, but it also goes into the realm of spiritualism, at least in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, you've got the story of the witch of Endor. King Saul was not being communicated with by God. He'd essentially committed the unpardonable sin. He was right on his way to doing that, or in the midst of doing that. He wants to get wisdom. He goes to a witch. He is disguised. Bring me up Samuel. The woman was a spiritist medium, is what she was. And then she says, here's what he looks like. Here's the fellow that I see. The witch said, oh, it's Samuel, according to King Saul. And he receives messages from the other side. You know, spiritualism is deadly and it's dangerous and it's more prevalent today than many people stop to realize. We got to have nothing to do with this because this is simply communication from the devil himself.
Now, Saul actually, had he not put to death or run off all the witches prior to this time?
Yeah, God had commanded, you take those witches and put them to death. In fact, that is why the witch of Endor said, you're jeopardizing my life. The king has commanded that all the witches be put to death. You could get me in trouble. See,
and that was the command of God that Saul was following. You'll find that in Exodus 22:18. But when he goes to this witch, he is disguised, as you said. And you said that the witch calls up Samuel. So here's a lady that has real powers. Who is this? Is this really Samuel that she calls up?
We know it was not really Samuel because really Samuel was really dead in his really grave. He wasn't going to be popping up and appearing on anybody's radar screen.
Now, how do you know that? Because this Samuel that came up at the bequest of the witch of Endor actually gave a prophecy that came true. It said that Saul would die. The next day in battle.
I don't believe that was the first time nor the last time that the devil has communicated with the human family. There is no question that the devil can utter prophecies or cause them to be uttered and then cause them to be fulfilled when a person has cut himself off from communion with and the protection of Almighty God. When you're on your own, you basically turn yourself over to the devil to allow him to do with you what he will. Saul had excommunicated himself. Now he was at the mercy of the devil. I want to take a moment to mention that we've got a free offer for you. Contact us. We'll give you a phone number, an address, an email address at the end of this program. Hidden Dangers, Hidden Danger in Harry Potter. You want to get that. Hidden Danger in Harry Potter. It's free. Contact us. We'll get it to you. And it's going to cover a lot of this information. It's information that every Christian needs to know.
When I was a boy, we used to have these fairs that we'd put on for muscular dystrophy. And in those fairs, we would have different little sideshows. And this was all kids' stuff. And
sure.
You order this from the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation, and you would get this kit. And one of the things that you would do that the other kids would come in to pay you money for was you do fortune telling.
Oh, sure.
And I used to love doing that, the fortune telling, reading the tea leaves, reading the palm, because they'd come in and I would act like I was a smart person. I would actually go and do a little homework before these kids would come in. Go around, ask a couple questions about them, get their names and all. They'd come in not knowing me, and then I would take their palm and I'd read their palm and I'd say, your name is John Bradshaw and you're from New Zealand and you went to this school. Well, I had found that out from some other means, and the kids would sit there and their eyes would get really big. And we made a lot of money for muscular dystrophy through that little means. Is fortune-telling really of the devil, or is it of God, or is it just fakery, like what I experienced?
It certainly isn't of God. Some of it's fakery, all of it's of the devil. Let me tell you why I believe that. If it's not of God, anything that is not of faith is of sin, according to the Bible. When you start directing people away from the source of wisdom, away from the source of direction, and away from Jesus Christ, you are discouraging them from having faith in Him. The Lord Jesus is not going to masquerade in such a way as to cause you to take your sight off Him and put it somewhere else. This isn't harmless. Tarot cards are not harmless. Ouija boards are not harmless. These things are the playground of the devil himself. You got to just keep right away from this. The Bible is very, very clear. Now you may say, oh, you're being just too stiff and rigid and hard. Well, there are some things where the Bible speaks clearly. You do not want to dishonor God by going behind His back and sullying your spiritual life with this kind of stuff.
When I was in my teens, my older sisters were into watching horror movies. And horror movies at that time were not anything like what they are now. They're a million times worse. But they were bad enough. And we got into the Ouija boards there as kids. And boy, I remember just getting really spooked. I didn't really get into it much, but I watched my sisters get into this, my oldest sister. And then her best friend, was really into the Ouija board. And it wasn't long before spooky things started happening. Hearing footsteps coming down the hall when nobody else is in the house. Doors opening and closing. There is a real black supernatural force out there. And if we open the door to it to communicate with the dead, the devil will walk right through that door, won't he, and start taking advantage of it to deceive us and to frighten us and scare us.
No question about it. Here's what's dangerous. This business about communicating with the dead, it's starting to seep into Christianity, and there are well-known Christian leaders who have gone on record as saying that they have communicated with the dead and they've spoken to the departed, and they're encouraging this sort of thing right in the church.
They are, and that's extremely dangerous. They think they're doing good, but they're not, and it's bizarre. But the Bible condemns any of this sorcery, any of this witchcraft, any of this communicating with the dead. But we also need to think, John, there may be people listening to us today, and I'm sure there are people listening to this program, who may be into Wicca. And I've gone online, I've read some of the websites where Wicca has been studied, and Wiccans write in and say, what do you mean to you're telling people that we're of the devil? We're not. We're good people. We're good, solid people in the community. And I don't doubt that there are good people involved in Wicca witchcraft.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean that's something that's healthy for them. You know, the Bible talks about people involved in sorcery in Acts 8, verse 9, and Acts chapter 13, verse 8, doesn't it? Of some of these people who were involved in this, and some of them actually were converted, and they became Christians, and they found a higher power, a better power that was a blessing to them.
What is one of the insidious dangers of all of this? It's not so much that you get involved in this and you become a bad person. But you see, your faith must be in Jesus Christ if you're going to have your sins forgiven, because He is the only one who has died for you and has power to forgive you and cleanse you through His shed blood. When you fail to have faith in Jesus Christ and your religious practice leads you in another direction, then you're veering away from Christ, the source of light and peace and salvation. And it does not make eternal life any closer for you. Your faith is elsewhere. And the Christian's faith always ought to be solely in Jesus Christ.
And what might start out as a nice experience for you? You feel better about yourselves. You're realizing that you have more power to cope with life. What might look innocent in the beginning can actually turn out to be very detrimental and terrible to you later. I have met people who start out dabbling with this stuff through movies, Ouija boards, simple, innocent child's play, and later it takes over their life and it controls them to the point where I've actually heard demonic voices coming out of them, where they're totally out of control of themselves and their life is a wreck and they're asking for deliverance. You don't want that to happen to you, friend, so you want to stay away from all these gateway avenues to witchcraft.
God, through His Son Jesus Christ, offers us eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's covenant with God that by His grace, our lives would be ordered correctly and they'd be given to Jesus Christ fully, completely, and we'd receive from Him the reality of eternal life. Thanks for joining us. See you next time on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free, informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for Hidden Dangers in Harry Potter. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. That's P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. Or email us at BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.